Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. We're just going to give a person or two an opportunity to join in. God bless you, Brother Billingsley. Listen, we are doing the finale for this month's series. The series is Financially Healthy, and we are joining in with everybody via Facebook Live. We know a couple people are still coming on the line on Blog Talk Radio, so we thank everybody for being with us. If you've been with us, let me just go ahead and say this while people are joining on. God bless you, Brother Suggs. God bless you, Brother Thornton, Pastor Thornton. Glad to see you. Let me just say this. Tonight we are talking about financially healthy communities. And if you've been with us for the last 4 months, Mama, we have been dealing with financially healthy something in some way. The first week we dealt with financially healthy individuals. The second week we dealt with financially healthy leaders, and that also included financially healthy leaders, also included pastors and those of us of religious positions. And last week, Mama, we dealt with financially healthy churches. And tonight we are ending this series. If God had for me to go longer than tonight, then I would, but he gave us what he gave us. And this is it. And we move into another series next month. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and mention that now. Next month, we will have, as we always do every February, we have a series that focuses on something dealing with Black history, something to uplift and empower the Black culture. And so we have a sister that has been on the show before. She was with us on one of our weekly shows last year, Dr. Karelyn Gordon out of New York, and also our very own Laura Bondurant, who those two will be leading next month's show. And the show is going to be on economics and race, so you don't want to miss that. So listen, here we go, here we go. Mama, good evening to you. Thank you for always being here
good
at
evening.
The table. And all right, here we go, here we go.
Yes.
The question is, how do we even get into all of this? How do we get into this? So listen, last week should have really told a lot of people that we don't have till tomorrow. Last week, Mama, and a little bit into this week, should have had a lot of people really believing, hold on now, I got to get my stuff together. It should have had a lot of us thinking as an individuals and as a collective group of believers, particularly, that if we're not financially healthy, then any little thing that comes into our atmosphere, if you will, Mama, anything that happens like that just gets everybody all out of whack. Now, God gave me this on, we already knew what we were going to be talking about this week, but on Sunday, Mama, let me tell you what happened. On Sunday, I got up, I began to worship, got something to eat, and God just started downloading, And what he gave us for tonight, I said, oh my goodness. And so what I had to do, I didn't have to do it, but I did it, right? What I did was I contacted somebody. And I said, listen, I need you to be a witness to what God is saying today. Regardless of what happens next week, regardless of what happens with this shutdown, I need you to hear this right now. So listen, I'm going to get into it. If you've been with us, you recognize that one of the things that we've done was we've just given you some tidbits, right? We gave you some tidbits. And I give you what God has given me. And so God took me to the 41st chapter of Genesis, Mom, 41st chapter of Genesis.
Yes.
And I'm going to just, you know, I had no idea, but something came to me. And when it came to me, I'm like, okay, what is this all about? So listen, I'm telling you this right now. I didn't really get it until the end. So stick with us throughout this broadcast. Just stick with it throughout the broadcast. You're going to catch some nuggets along the way, but it's going to make a whole lot more sense when we get to the end. Mama, think about this. When we're talking about financially healthy individuals, right? One of the things, if everybody, just to recap for everybody, financially healthy individuals is the key. It's the key. Financially healthy individuals is the key to being a financially healthy leader. being a financially healthy individual is key to being a financially healthy church. So let's just think about what we're talking about. So if you as an individual, I'm talking to all of y'all out there, if you as an individual are financially healthy, I didn't say rich, I didn't say wealthy, I said financially healthy, then when you become a leader, you don't forget that, right?
Yes,
you realize that as an individual, before I was even called, I'm financially healthy. I understand some things, blah, blah, blah. So you shouldn't be changing and tripping when you become a leader if you're financially healthy as an individual. If you're as a leader are financially healthy, then you get to recognize and understand some things about people who you're supposed to be leading. You don't just walk past them like in the book of Acts chapter 3 when mostly everybody walked past the brother who was outside of the gate going into the temple. It's not what you do. You remember where you came from. For those who come from humble beginnings, like I was, I don't even know what to call them humble, mama. We were just poor.
Yes.
Right? So yes. Coming from where you come from, right? Depending on how it is. And then when we talked about, just to shift gears, when we talked about financially healthy churches, said, look, church, we gave y'all a bunch of things. You all right, mama? You all right? We gave y'all a bunch of things.
Yes.
Last week about being a financially healthy church. We gave y'all some characteristics. I pray that you just looked over those things and you put those things into your memory bank and say, Lord, show me where we are, especially if you're a leader. Show me where we are as a church. Because just because you got a nice building, just because your building is raggedy and broke down, does not mean you're financially healthy or vice versa, that you're financially unhealthy. All right? So now here we are tonight, talking about financially healthy communities, because the truth of the matter is this. I may be going away ahead of time, but I don't care. Saeed said something to us plenty of times before. He said he challenged the church. If your church looks better than everything in your community, Saeed said that something is wrong with that picture. Now, y'all may not want to hear that because it came from a Muslim. Well, check yourself. Just think about what's going on. Think about what you just heard. If your church looks better than all the houses is dilapidated all inside your community, don't be mad that a Muslim said that. Just think about what was said and say, So that's how we're going. Again, this is where we're going tonight.
Yes.
If things like that make you feel some kind of way, then there's some work that I just know God needs to do with you. That's not a negative statement. That's just being truthful with you. Because it should say, you know what? My community shouldn't look like this. My community shouldn't look broke. When we're sitting here talking about, God bless you, Preston, when we're talking about we're blessed and highly favored, okay, you saying that inside the church, but everybody else outside the church is broke? Come on. So mama, I'm trying to set everything up for everybody. I'm trying to set it up for y'all.
Yes.
All right, so let's try to deal a little bit with some characteristics. Now listen, if you're watching us on Facebook Live, watch me on Facebook Live, that's fine. If you want to join into the conversation and you want to express yourself, if you want to comment or have a question about something that's being said, you can do so at 347-215-7934. 347-215-7934. All right, mama, so here we go. I'm gonna try to go into this thing.
Okay.
I'm going to try. So in the 41st chapter of Genesis, I was wondering why God was taking me here. I'm like, okay, 41st chapter of Genesis, we've talked about, you know, Genesis and Joseph before, but there was a whole nother revelation. And then I realized that the backdrop of this came and let me just give y'all a little bit of the history for those who are not cracked open their Bibles right now. So Pharaoh during that time, not the Pharaoh that everybody knows about, but Pharaoh during this time, he had this dream. He had this dream about seven cows who were plump, healthy, and seven cows that were thin and scrawny. Then he had another dream about seven plump grains of wheat. Then he had was dreaming about seven real thin stalks of wheat. And what was crazy about this dream was that the cows that was thin and scrawny, and the wheat mama that was thin, didn't look like it was worth anything, it swallowed up the one that looked like it was good. Catch that. We're talking about financially healthy communities because sometimes a community looks like they're healthy, but they're not healthy. See, I'll say it like this. Don't sleep on the 30-member church just because you got 300 members.
That's good.
All right. So let me get off that. Maybe that was some financially healthy church, but financially healthy community. So here's where it all started on Sunday for me. God said, a financially healthy community, they respond different during times of feast and times of famine. Financially healthy communities respond differently in times of feast and time of famine. And so that's what God gave me. And so when I got to this scripture, to this text, I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, we've heard that before, right? And so then I said, you know what? This is the backdrop. I didn't know it at the time. No, this wasn't something I thought about so it could be for Thursday's show. I said, this is the backdrop for Thursday's show for financially healthy communities.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
And so now I'm like, okay, what does all that mean? I'm still not getting it, right? Well, all I did, Mama, I just started reading. And I kept reading. And I kept reading. And I kept reading. And let me read a couple of the verses to you. I'm not going to read all the verses to you, but there's a couple that I want you to get. And if you're taking notes, I guess you can think about this. So fast forwarding, Joseph is called in, right? Joseph is called in to go and have an audience before Pharaoh because somebody say, oh, I know somebody. I know somebody, right? And so Joseph comes in. And he talks to the king, and he says, both of Pharaoh's dream means the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The seven healthy cows and the seven healthy heads of grain both represent 7 years of prosperity. The seven thin, scrawny cows, they represent 7 years of famine. All right? Mama, listen, some of us have heard that before. But here's what I love what he said. He said, this will happen just as I've described it. For God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The next 7 years, and this is what he's saying, the next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt. God bless you, Kathy. She said, hi, Dr. D. But afterwards, afterwards, there will be 7 years of famine so great, listen to this, so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land. Listen to the word. This is the word. This famine will be so severe, even the memory of the good years will be erased. As for having two similar dreams, it means that these events have been decreed by God, and he will soon make them happen. When I read that, Mama, I said, that is the backdrop. And I was thinking about something. I was thinking about how on Sunday, think about it, we were a day and a half into a bunch of turmoil. I had people calling me on Saturday. We had people losing their ever-living mind, not in the church, Mama, within the community.
Yes.
Within the community. And I'm like, man, this is not good. This is not good that everybody is really having a difficult time with what they heard. Not what they heard from God, what they heard on CNN and Fox and MSNBC and ABC and all these news. That's what they heard. And cats was running around like chickens with their heads cut off, Mama. I'm not diminishing the fact that the shutdown was a bad thing. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it was a good. What I'm saying is, when the news was heard and it was official that the government is shutting down, has shut down 12 o'clock, people lost their minds.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what does that have to do with financially healthy communities? Well, think about it. We talked about financially healthy individuals. We talked about financially healthy leaders. We talked about financially healthy churches, but the community lost their mind. If the community lost their mind, then I say let's peel back the onion. Then maybe there were some churches that was not financially healthy, because there should have been some churches out there to be able to say, listen, community in which we're sitting in, yeah, listen, folks, y'all ain't got to go worrying about a bunch of stuff right now. Just hold what you got. Should have been some leaders saying to some other leaders and saying to some people that they're leading, listen, hold on. If it gets that bad, we got you. It should have been some individuals saying, you know what? I understand, because you're my sister or my brother or my mother or my father or whatever you are. I understand that you work in that governmental system, and this is what they said, but listen, we're family and we got you. Mama, listen.
Yes. Amen.
All right. So here's what I want y'all to hear. I want y'all to hear this. As I started reading, this is what the Lord revealed to me. Financially healthy community have leaders that follow wisdom for practical solutions, not ideological discourses or selfish motives. Let me say that again. A financially healthy community has leaders that follow godly wisdom for practical solutions, not ideological discourses, conversation, and definitely not for selfish motives. Mama, when you keep on reading in the book of Genesis, that same 41st chapter, after yes. Joseph said what he said to Pharaoh, here's what he said. After he said, here's what the Lord says. There's going to be 7 years of peace and 7 years of famine. 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of famine. He said, so therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent man, a wise man, and put him in charge of all the land of Egypt. That's verse 33. When I read that, I said, oh, my God. The one who went to Pharaoh, gave him the interpretation of the dream, did not say, since I gave you the dream, I need to be the one running this.
Amen.
He said, you're the king. You're the leader.
Amen.
You need to find somebody
Amen.
To deal with this, because it's coming. All right. So we keep going on. Then Pharaoh shall appoint supervisors. I'm going to keep reading it because I can't. Then Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect one-fifth of all the crops during the 7 good years. Have them gather all the food produced in the good years that are just ahead and bring it to Pharaoh's storehouses. When I read that 34th, 35th, and then this 36th verse says, that way there will be enough food to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, this famine will destroy the land. That's not Dr. Dunlap, Mama. That's the word.
Amen. Yes.
Okay, so what does that have to do about financially healthy church communities? Well, here's what you got to understand. This was not talking about the church, because a church wasn't even established at that time. So you got to understand, you try to be so much church and forget about community, then your community is going to start looking like the church. And not in a positive way. Because we already know, and because of what we continue to see, because of what we continue to deal with, we know that there is an abundance of financially unhealthy churches that most of y'all go to. All right. Now, you got to understand something. We said financially healthy communities, right? Do you remember, and when I went back and read this again, do you remember last week, God bless you, Brother Snyder, do you remember last week I ended in Malachi chapter 3? Mama?
Yes.
I ended there, and I ended there kind of abruptly because it was dealing with the storehouse. And when I read this 35th verse last night or last week, bring it to Pharaoh's storehouses.
Storehouse, yes.
Store it away and guard it there so there will be food in the cities.
In the cities.
In the cities. Hey, Tootie. God bless you, little lady. In the cities. See, if we're going to take Malachi and say that that is supposed to be representative of bring it to the church, but you don't want to recognize or acknowledge that before the storehouse, what was supposed to have been brought to the storehouses was first about the community before the church was established. We in Genesis, Mama. Ain't no church established in Genesis.
No.
Okay, let me keep going. I'm going to come back to that. So the first thing is understanding that a financially healthy community has leaders within the community that follow godly wisdom. And it's not all about their ideological discourses and conversations or even their selfish motives. Okay, so I can say so much about this particular verse. Even Joseph was only 30 years old. So that's that opens it up to a whole other thing about the community, because some communities are not financially healthy because they're sleeping on their young people. Sleeping on the young people. These millennials are out here killing the game and are watching everybody else just fall by the wayside. Not because they're selfish, because they're tired of foolishness. They understand what community is supposed to be looking like. And they're tired of seeing the same old things over and over and over. It's not producing any fruit. Let me keep going. So Joseph gets made the ruler of Egypt, right? So Pharaoh says, look, you're the one. I'm going to put you in charge. So he became in charge, right? And listen to this, because listen, I don't want y'all listening to me today. I want y'all to listen to what the Spirit of the Living God is saying right now about communities. He starts talking about Joseph, saying he was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt, Mama.
Yes.
God bless you, Captain Walker. Did you hear what it said? Because I know some people are listening on the radio and some are watching on Facebook. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. Did I not come onto you through Facebook Live, I believe, and I may have mentioned it last week on the radio, how when I had that conversation with the pastor, and I suggested in the most non-threatening manner, because I know some stuff about that particular congregation and people inside of the congregation, but I can't say certain things to the pastor about what I know. I can only give him enough information to be able to try to do something about it. Do you remember me saying that I was suggesting and trying to encourage him to do some type of evaluation? I said, listen, I can help you with that. Because if you don't ask the question, you never get the answer. Do you hear what he said? After Joseph said what he said to Pharaoh, after Pharaoh put him in charge, the first thing Joseph goes out and does is an inspection, Mama.
Of the entire land of Egypt. Entire land.
What we would say that's equivalent to in the PRF space, we do what's called a financial ministry needs assessment. Because we don't want to come into your church or into your community just trying to talk about what we want to talk about. Listen, we may think, because God is speaking right now about credit, that that's what we need to be talking about. But for your community, you may need something dealing with planning and saving.
Amen.
And the assessment is how you find out what is going on with the people, because 9 out of 10 times, they're not bringing it to the pastors. 9 out of 10 times, they're not bringing it to the church. They're holding on to this. This thing about evaluating and assessing is so critically important, Mama, that I just pray that all those who have the influence will get this. Get it from a biblical perspective. Can we go to Nehemiah? Can we go to Nehemiah for a minute, Mama? Do you remember when Nehemiah left and he goes to Jerusalem? What did he do? He went and inspected the wall. After he left the king, got his authority, he left and he went and inspected the wall. And matter of fact, when he inspected the wall, I believe our Bible says that he did it at night and nobody knew what he was doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
Now, you got to understand, there's ways of doing inspections, but the fact that everybody didn't know what he was doing, that's not the big issue. The fact is, was he said, you know what, what's the best way to get this done to be able to see what the heck is going on in my community? All right. So you got the first thing. What time is it, Mama? Keep me on the time. It's going to end when it's supposed to end. But it's going because I'm almost done. All right. So financially healthy community. Listen. So let's go to a couple more verses before I bring it out. So as predicted, now watch this. As predicted, for 7 years, the land produced bumper crops, right? Beyond measure. During those years, Joseph gathered all the crops grown in Egypt and stored the grain from the surrounding fields in the cities. He piled up huge amounts of grain like sand on the seashore. Finally, he stopped keeping records because there was too much to measure. Mama, you know your storehouse is doing it when you got to stop keeping records of what's in the storehouse.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So let me go down to a couple more verses. So now watch this. At last, the 7 years of bumper crops throughout the land of Egypt came to an end. Here's what you got to realize. We can be in these places of prosperity, but everything has an end point. So the question is, what did you do or what did you not do at the time of the end point? A lot of the reason why so many people were so wrapped around the axle last weekend, Mama, is because they were living in some places of prosperity and didn't even have enough respect that there was an end point to it. No respect for it. There's a whole bunch of people living in communities that get to work overtime. That's a great thing. But if you live off your overtime, they get to cut the overtime whenever they want to. This is what's happening in a lot of your communities, and even in my communities, and even in my church. I'm not going to act like we exempt. Okay, let me keep going. Then the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had predicted. The famine also struck all the rest surrounding countries. Here's what you got to understand. See, people act like that things only affect where they're at. But the way that your community is, when it's not financially healthy, affects the communities on the outside, the communities that are surrounding them. Listen, if you think about Atlanta, stuff that's going on in Atlanta is just one piece. People live in Marietta, people live in Smyrna, people live in Decatur, but they say, I'm from Atlanta. Stuff that goes on in Decatur has an effect on Atlanta. Stuff that goes on in Atlanta has an effect on Decatur because they're so close to each other. We're talking about community. Just hold on. The famine also struck the surrounding countries, but throughout Egypt, there was plenty of food. Mama, listen, why was there plenty of food in Egypt? Because that's where the storehouses were. That's where the storehouses were. This is not, okay. Eventually, however, the famine spread throughout the land of Egypt as well. And when the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told them, go to Joseph. The same person that told him this was going to happen that said, hold on, you need to be putting some of this away right now because the good is going to be the good, but when the bad comes, you need to be able to have something to fall back on.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
And he said, now listen, this is the part that you got to get because we're talking about financial health community. He says, go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you to do. Oh, my God, Mama. Some of the problem is that a lot of people don't know who the heck to go to. See, it's not God, it's not godly wisdom for where so many people are going to in the community. And then they go to a place that they think they're supposed to be going to, but then that's really not the place that God wants them to go to because God already knows a whole bunch of people's hearts. Can I give it to you like this? Do you remember the story when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the three apostles, and when he came down, the father who had the son who had epilepsy or had the seizures? Do you remember when Jesus came there and he said, I brought my son to you to be healed, but you were not here and your disciples could not heal him. See, the first thing was he brought him to Jesus. All they had to do was wait. But they were not the right ones because their faith, because remember, the last part of that chapter, it talks about faith. They didn't have enough faith to believe that they could do the healing. So therefore, they was powerless. I hope y'all getting it because we're almost done. So with severe famine everywhere, Joseph opened up, listen, Joseph opened up the storehouses and distributed grains to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout the land of Egypt. You can't open up a storehouse when you ain't got Jack in the storehouse, mama.
That's right.
When you don't have nothing in the storehouse, then it makes it a whole lot more challenging because nothing is there and you know nothing is there. All right. So here's the nugget I'm going to throw to you. A financially healthy church has a storehouse spirit or a storehouse mentality. During the times of feast and during the times of famine, they have a storehouse mentality during the times of feast and during the times of famine. The only way they were able to survive during the times of famine is because they had something stored up during the time of feast. Mama, that is so key right now. Because going back to what I said before, why in the world were so many people wrapped around the axle? Why were so many people like, you know what? All hell is about to break loose in my household. When, Mama.
Yes.
This whole notion of the storehouse has been adulterated within the church. And the people don't see in the communities where the storehouse is. So if the people in the community can't see a storehouse within the church, then maybe that explains some of the reason why so many people within the community don't come inside of the church.
Mm.
Say what you want to say. Act like they're just doing whatever they want to do. But y'all know this stuff is real. Hold on, y'all. Hold on, y'all. Hold on. Something going on here. Y'all know what I'm saying is real. Let me go and shift a little bit. All right, Mama. So let me go here. Let me go here. I'm coming back to you in a minute, y'all. So let's keep moving. Go to the 43rd chapter, because now in the 43rd chapter it says, "But the famine continued to ravage the land of Canaan." When the grain they had brought from Egypt was almost gone, Jacob said, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said, "The man was serious when he warned us, 'You won't see my face again unless your brother is with you.'" The first two verses is key. When the grain they had brought from Egypt, listen, they brought the grain from Egypt. This is not the Egypt that we read in from the first chapter of Exodus about the Egyptian, that the Israelites being enslaved. This is pre that, Mama.
Okay.
So it was no issue at all. No issue at all. But they brought the grain from Egypt, and now the grain is starting to run out. If you don't have anything in the storehouse, don't expect the people to come to the church. Because one of the worst things that can happen for a community is to believe that when in times of famine, all that you've been talking about with your church self was a lie. We're family. And they find out that it was a lie because you don't even take anything into consideration for the people on the inside. Now somebody's starting some mess tonight. Kathy said, "Was the storehouse available to all or just to those who put in the storehouse?" And she put in quotation marks, "Is she a tither?" Listen, we got the course, Tithing Out of Law or Love. Y'all know we'll be on here for 2 hours if we get into that. But to answer the question, what did we just read? The storehouse was not just available to a select group of people. The storehouse was available to the community. Not just the community of Egypt,
surroundings.
Not just the community of Egypt, but the surrounding areas. Now watch this. If you don't have a storehouse mentality, then listen. Again, don't expect it. So let me keep going. I'm going to the 45th chapter. I want you to make a note of verse 6. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and then there will be no plowing nor any harvesting. So all these people out here talking about sowing and reaping, listen to what it said. The famine has ravaged the land for 2 years, and it will last for 5 more years, and there will be neither no plowing nor harvesting. So what is that saying, Mama? They're going through the process. They're going through the process. God spoke it, and that's it. Y'all going to have 7 years of famine? So the question becomes, what does the community do in the middle of the famine? What does it do in the middle of the famine? If you hear that this government shut down, listen, I'm just going to say it because it needs to be said. God is not done. This shutdown happened on Friday, 11:59, or Saturday morning at 12 a.m. People got a little crazy. People were getting nervous. And then here comes, what, Monday, Tuesday? It's over. Now, here's the question. Is it over? Is it really over? Mama, it's not really over. Let me tell you why it's not really over. Because in about 16 days or maybe 13 now, they got to come back. Or how many days? I don't know. I lost track. But they got to come back and deal with that thing again. So when you hear that as a community, do you say, well, you know what? I'm good. And then don't think about preparing and planning for the future? So here we are in verse 6. We're in Genesis chapter 45 for those who are just joining us. God bless you. This famine has ravaged the land for 2 years and will last for 5 more years. So the question is, what the heck do you do for the next 5 years? My question to you is, what the heck are you doing knowing that those of you who are going to be affected by the government shutdown? See, you don't have to be a government employee to be affected by the government shutdown.
Amen.
Can you hear me? Don't have to. Just like Egypt was affected, but also Canaan and the surrounding communities was also affected. So let's keep going. I want y'all to pay attention to verse 6, because in verse 6, what that is saying, what that is highlighting to us, or should be highlighting to you, Mama, mute your line, Mama, until you get ready to talk. Thank you. What that should be saying is that this thing ain't over. And so if you're going to go to sleep just because you've got a couple of days, what are you going to do if they say that the government's going to shut down again when they come back and they can't come to terms? What is your community going to do? Church, what are you going to do about the community? Leaders, what are you going to do about your church? Leaders, what are you going to do about yourself? Here's another characteristic of financially healthy communities. They recognize where the God-ordained resources are, Mama. They recognize where the God-ordained resources are. See, the community, the world, has done a very good job at finding the resources. True, the resources are not godly resources, so a lot of times people who are going and getting involved with these places who are not godly resources wind up getting themselves in more trouble, but at least they're getting a reprieve right now. So think about this. Remember when we had the adjustable rate mortgages, when the housing bubble, when all that foolishness went on?
Yes.
People went and they hooked up with who they hooked up with to get these type of loans, didn't really have a good understanding about it, thought they can get it for right now, and it went to hell in a handbasket. And now you had a whole bunch of people in a messed up way. But for during that time period, everything was good. During that time period, I'm only paying $500 on my mortgage, and if that wasn't the type of mortgage you got, you'd have probably been paying like $900 or $1,000. But I'm good right now. But did they take that extra money or did they over-obligate themselves? Did they over-obligate themselves? So then when the bubble hit, man, credit reports got messed up. People started going to drinking and drugs. People started having fights. People's marriages started getting messed up. So listen, we need financially healthy communities. But if you're not going to listen to the wisdom of God, if you're not going to look at what the characteristics of your own community are, if you're going to act like your community is financially healthy when you know doggone is not. All right, so let me give you a couple other verses because we keep going down. Y'all can read all these chapters. Notice that in the 9th through the 11th verse, that they had not gone anywhere yet. So what Joseph said was, go back to Jacob, our father, and then come on back. I'm going to take care of y'all. I'm going to take care of y'all. Y'all my family. He's talking to his brothers. Y'all come back. Y'all can stay in this city. Y'all can stay in this part of Egypt. I got y'all. That's family. That's community. See, here's what you got to understand. Community and family. See, I'm tying this whole thing back together as like a circle. Because we started off with the individuals, and now we're ending on community. But you got to understand that there's no separation within the kingdom between your family and the community. How you do your family is a reflection of what the community is supposed to be looking like. And so if you got people that's broke, busted, disgusted in your family, and you sitting up there with buckets and buckets of cash and you ain't helping nobody, come on, mama.
Yes.
This is the month where so many people are fasting, but we can take you to Isaiah when God said, this is the type of fasting I want. And he said, talks about the ones who won't even help their own families. You might as well stop fasting because you don't even get it. Let's keep going. All right. Verse 17 says something kind of. So Joseph told him to go back there. And then he says, Pharaoh says this to Joseph, tell your brothers, this is what you must do. Load your pack animals, hurry back to the land of Canaan, then get your father and all the families. So now you not only had Joseph saying this, but you had somebody else in that community saying the same thing. How many of us are speaking the same language about how to try to help people to become financially healthy? Whether it's you as an individual, whether it's your church, whether it's you as a person in a leadership position, or whether it's in the community in general. Keep on going. I will give you the very best land in Egypt, and you will eat from the best that the land produces. Look at the favor inside of the family. If you're sitting in the famine and you can't see any favor, then maybe you need to go to a place where the favor is. Stop waiting on the stuff to come to you and go get it.
Amen.
So listen. Here's what's the beauty of this thing. The Bible says in verse 21, it says, so the sons of Jacob did as they were told. Mama, we sit here week after week giving godly wisdom and counsel to whoever be willing enough to receive it. We're going over tonight. That's it. Y'all be okay with that.
Yes.
But yet people continue to go to the sources that are still refusing to help them and refusing to give them what they need and or going to those places that's going to do nothing but put them in further bondage. Come on. That's not how you build community. They did what they were told. Joseph provided them with wagons, and Pharaoh, just as Pharaoh had commanded, and he gave them the supplies for the journey. He gave each of them new clothes, and we ain't got to go to all that. Let me read this verse. And they left Egypt and returned to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. Now, let's backtrack. Joseph said, go, bring family back. Pharaoh said, go, bring family back. So let's go to verse chapter 46, verses 5 to 7. 46 verses 5 to 7. So Jacob left Beersheba and his sons, and they took him to Egypt. They carried with them their little ones and their wives in the wagons that Pharaoh had provided for them. Remember, this is not big bad Pharaoh that everybody's reading about after Exodus chapter 1. They also took, now listen, they also took their livestock. They took all their personal belongings, all the stuff they had acquired in the land of Canaan. And the Bible records, so Jacob and his entire family went to Egypt. Sons, grandsons, daughters, granddaughters, and all of his descendants. Mama, do you see a whole community being moved?
Yes. Yes.
But here's the thing. Again, financially healthy communities, they recognize where the resources are. Their family was a community by their doggone self, Mama.
Yes.
They didn't stay in Canaan. They didn't have this mentality to say, well, I've been here all my life. And, Joker, you're going to die talking about I've been here all my life. If I would have stayed in Philly, ain't no telling what would have happened to me. Truth be told.
Amen. Amen.
Ain't no telling how the streets would have gobbled me up. I was white. Mama, you know it. I was lightweight back then. You know, I'm tough now because I'm strong, but the streets probably would have got me.
Yes.
No college education. No plan coming out of high school. I mean, come on, let's be serious. And you got people living like that every day all throughout many of our communities. And for some reason, it seems like you got people who don't believe that's a problem. God bless you, Tamika. God bless you, Sherry. God bless you, Brother Alvin. So listen, we're talking about financially healthy communities. If there are some resources that your community needs, and there's nobody seeking out the resources, that's bad. Okay, so the community doesn't know. They don't know where to go. Okay, so let's backtrack. Let's peel back the onion because, you know, I'm good at doing that.
Okay.
If the community is doing bad, they don't know where the resources are. But yet the church don't know where the resources are. That's even worse. Because who the heck you serving? Who are you serving? Who are you serving if you're not serving the community? Who are you serving if the people in the church are broke, busted, and disgusted? They're financially unhealthy and have no way of knowing where they're going to go, how they're going to get there. You hear something about a government shutdown, you got people automatically trying to go to the bank. You should be some, let me tell you, I'm so glad I was able to watch football all day on Sunday, because on Saturday I was like, what in the world is going on right now in this country? And what is representative of God's churches right now? Let me share something with you in verse 26, and I think we're done. Going down to verse 26 says this: the total number of Jacob's direct descendants who went with him to Egypt, not counting his sons' wives, was 66. 66 descendants went with Jacob. They moved, they picked up from Canaan, and they went to that place in Egypt so that they can continue to live. Those of you who call yourself community leaders, I'm telling you, you better understand this. You better hear this from God. If you don't get up on your game at finding people the resources that they need, you can expect there to be a famine, and you can expect them to die right there where they are. Mom, we about done. So here's the response. Here's the response, because I don't need to be on here all day with y'all. Go into chapter 47 and look at verses 13 to 15. It says, meanwhile, the famine became so severe. So think about this. All that we've been talking about, all this was dealing with the famine. Look at how they operated in the famine. Look at what they did before the famine. Look at what they did while the famine was going on when it became so severe. Watch this. Genesis 47, verse 13. Meanwhile, the famine became so severe that all the food was used up, and the people were starving throughout the lands, not just of Egypt, but through the lands of Egypt and of Canaan. Well, hold on now. They left Canaan to go to Egypt, and it may not make sense. It didn't seem like that doesn't even make sense, Mama, that they left Canaan to go to Egypt, but the famine became so severe that they now begin to starve. Okay? With God, everything ain't going to make sense to you. That's real theological right there, Chapter Richardson. Everything's not going to make sense to you, right? But listen to this.
Yeah.
By selling grain to the people, Joseph eventually collected all the money in Egypt and in Canaan, and he put the money in Pharaoh's treasury. If you was with us earlier on the broadcast, you remember we talked about the storehouse.
Yeah.
When the people of Egypt and Canaan ran out of money, all the Egyptians came to Joseph. Our money is gone, they cried. But please, give us food, or we will die before your very eyes. Listen, a financially healthy community is a community that will utilize their possessions and their resources to further their destiny. They will use their possessions and their resources, Mama, to leverage their destiny. A financially healthy community, just because they don't have money, don't sit there and say, well, you know what, all woe is me. They come together as family. They do things that family should do. They listen to where the leadership is being placed and whoever is being placed by God, and they follow what the path that they're supposed to follow. So, again, when they said this, I was like, man, this does not look good. I didn't even want to read this tonight, Mama, this part right here. Please give us food or we'll die before your very eyes. Okay. Just because, I'm going to read this to you. Just because they were going through didn't mean they didn't have anything to work with. Y'all know, most of y'all know this, that the two bookmark scriptures for this whole ministry of PRF is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, as well as 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. You know, if you read those chapters, if you read those passages of scripture, you know, if you've listened to us and been with us throughout all these years, that this thing is about community. This is not, listen, that's why when we talk about credit and then I teach on credit, I could care less about raising your individual credit score up to an 800. And I'm not going to teach you how to raise your credit score up to an 800. The whole thing is, if your credit score gets up to an 800, I'll be doggone if you're going to sit there while you watch your neighbor sit there at a 400 and not share with them what God has done for you to help get you to that place. Because if that's the case, don't even come to us. You can get people that help you and you can do it individually in a bubble, but that's not the community way. Just calling on the Lord. Just listen to this. When he said, Joseph said to them in 16:17, since your money is gone, bring me your livestock. I will give you food in exchange for your livestock. So they brought their livestock to Joseph in exchange for food, in exchange for the houses, their flocks and sheep and goats and herds and cattle and donkeys. Joseph provided them with food for another year. Mama, the last thing we heard was, think about this. Last thing we heard was 2 years had gone. The famine was so severe that they said, listen, we got five more years to make it through this. And so now they come to this thing has become so severe. What did they do? They used their possessions, Mama, and their resources to leverage their debt.
Yes.
I was saying to so many folks, listen, community, I don't need you just to sit there and die because things are not going the way that you think they're supposed to be going. It made no earthly sense for them to pack up from Canaan to go to where Egypt was. You'd be surprised, Mama, how many doggone people that have good. You listen. I get so many opportunities that come to me from very, very significant individuals. But the fact of the matter is, because so many folks are stuck, I can't even present it to them. First of all, I'm not going to mess up my name by giving somebody a dud. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, if you ain't going to work now, trust me, I'm not going to get you to a place to make $50,000 a year when you're making 30. But you got people that are stuck in this mindset saying, I'm going to stay right here. Well, you're staying right there, but you're struggling. Not because God wants you to struggle, because you won't pick up and move nowhere. And it may just be 20 minutes up the road. Oh, God. I'm tired of hearing so much, Mama. I'm tired of hearing, just call on the Lord. If that is the best that you can do, don't hinder nobody else from going to the place where God is actually waiting on them to actually go to. And so many people are in bondage because they think they can't go anywhere outside of their church. So therefore, they don't go and get any resources that's in the community waiting on them because it's not coming in their church. And then the people inside the church, inside of the community, don't even want to go inside the church because they don't want to be beat down with the Bible. Can we just love people? Can we just love people like Jesus said to do it? Well, yes, Brother Dunlap, I understand. How do you really love? Because everybody's situation is different and how people act and react are different. So it makes it a little bit different. There's no one simple type of answer. So how about this? Ask God how to help you to deal with that. You know a lot of your communities are suffering. I'm going to be in Philly doing the Legacy Conference, what, 2 weeks, Mama? Yeah, 2 weeks?
Yes.
You know what I do every time I go home. I ride back through West Oak Lane so I can see 68th Avenue. I don't know if you ever known this, Mama. I ride on Plymouth Street. I sit there with almost tears in my eyes because I remember where I came from before I could wear all these nice little pretty bow ties and all this crap. I'm thankful for where God has brought me, but I can't forget where I've come from.
Amen.
So it's a constant reminder that just because I'm doing good, my community is not doing good.
Yes.
Let me get myself together. All right, so listen. So just calling on the Lord didn't do it in these two verses. Working with the resources that God had already given them is what did it. Do you remember when he said they took all that they had? God bless you, Pastor Henry. It said they took all that they had and went to Egypt. They didn't go to Egypt with nothing.
Yeah.
So listen, when we do our legacy conferences, it's amazing how many people sit there a lot of times like, oh, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to put in the wheel. I don't have anything to leave in anybody. By the time we get to the end of that conference, you know what they say? Man, I'm glad we found this out. Because people don't understand. Because listen, and I know that the title of this is Financially Healthy Communities, right? And so because we're dealing with financially healthy communities, I wasn't going to say financially healthy communities or resourcing. I wasn't going to put resource and possession in there because finances is the thing that most people are attached to. But they had stuff that allowed them to keep on going. Now, here's what you got to know. They did not put themselves in a place of debt, per se, like we do today, right? Like we do today, right? But let's keep on going. So in verse 23, then Joseph said, let me not do this. Because I'm black, you know, if y'all watching me, because I'm black, sometimes I have a hard time dealing with some of these scriptures to deal with slavery. So I just intently, it was a little rough dealing with the next couple of verses up to 23 because they sold themselves. They said, look, take our land and take us as slaves and take our land so that we can continue this. Listen, I'm a black man in America. I had a hard time with that. So I'm going to keep on going. I'm not taking anything away from the scriptures. They're there, but I'm not going to read them. So then Joseph said to the people, because they did what they did, look, today I brought you and your land for Pharaoh. I was like, what in the world? Remember, we talked about the response, so I'm about to go. I will provide you with seed so you can plant the field. I will provide you with seed so that you can plant the fields. Then when you harvest, one-fifth of your crops belong to Pharaoh. You may keep the remaining four-fifths as seed for your fields and as food for you, your household, and your little ones. And so when I looked at that, I was like, man, here we go with that slavery thing. We coming up to Black History Month. I ain't feeling it. But I said, well, it's the word, so let's be mature Christians. I didn't get it, Pastor Henry. I didn't want to deal with that. I still don't want to deal with it. I'm looking at the word right now. I'm like, man, God revealed something to me. One-fifth goes to Pharaoh. Four-fifths go to you. And so I thought about this. I said, you know what? We're looking at the law of percentages right now. So Pharaoh got 20% and they got 80%. Pharaoh got more back then than the whole bunch of folk giving to God right now. I'm talking about the 10% for those who don't go to church with the tithe. Somewhat, you know, Kathy talked about a little bit earlier. So they gave 20% up to keep 80%. All right. What they said was, you saved our lives. Again, I had a hard time with this slavery thing because of my context of understanding slavery from context of post-Genesis slavery with the Israelites. They said, listen, you saved our lives. They explained. They said a couple things. I don't want to read all that. But here's what he said. Meanwhile, the people of Israel settled in the region of Goshen in Egypt. It says, there they acquired property and they were fruitful, and their population grew rapidly. Listen, that's the key. That's the key. They were fruitful. You get to this verse, you say, well, hold on. Doggone. They put themselves in slavery. They put themselves in bondage. They gave up. And here they are at the end of this chapter coming up where it says they were fruitful. All that went on, they came out fruitful. So the question is, what is going on? Seriously, like, what is going on where your community is not fruitful? Have you aborted the process that God, has actually put in place to be able to help you? So listen, I'm done, because the response is utilize the resources, utilize the possessions that God has given you to be able to leverage your destiny. I am tired of seeing so many communities that are so much in bad shape, and we walk around walking into church every Sunday like we're doing something. No, we're not doing anything. We're sorry. We're sorry. A lot of us are just sorry in a lot of our communities and a lot of our churches because we're watching, and maybe it's because y'all grown numb to it. Maybe it's like those cats that was walking past the brother in Acts chapter 3, just everybody's going in there to pray at the ninth hour. Come on, no, that's not how we're supposed to be doing this thing. So listen, we're done for tonight. Next week, we start the series on economics and race with Dr. Karay Lynn Gordon and Laura Bondurant. They'll be leading those conversations. We got to do something about being financially healthy. The world has done a much better job at being financially healthy than the church. There should be some fruit and some evidence that we are financially healthy. There should be some fruit and some evidence that the way we're living inside of the church has affected the outside of the church, meaning outside of the four walls of the church. There's work to be done by all of us, present person speaking included. So listen, I get it, but let's not act like there's not some bad things going on and people are not suffering within our communities. I'm done. God bless y'all, Mama. We'll see you next week. God bless you, Sister Ernestine. God bless you, Brother Mark. Pray for us as we pray for you, because, listen, this thing is not about us. It's not about Dr. Dunlap. It's about what God is actually doing in this season. Mark, just pay attention to this tonight in about 10 or 12 days, and then just watch and observe. And I've said this to some people on the team. I said one of the most painful things for me as the leader, or as one of the leaders, I would say, one of the leaders of this PRF ministry, is watching what people go through and experience. And people in the church and people in the community are in bondage and have no idea where to go. If you're listening to this broadcast, if you're watching this on Facebook Live, I'm just going to encourage you. Share this with somebody else. Share this with somebody else. Be a true disciple. Don't sit on this. Don't go make your stuff right. Don't go help your church to get straight, then forget about everybody else, because that's not kingdom. So listen, God bless you, Pastor Henry. Good to see you. Hopefully we'll be able to talk real soon. And all right. Well, that ends the Facebook, so we're going to end. Go visit us on prfministry.org. That's the website, prfministry.org. Check us out on Facebook, PRF Institute. And again, myself, Dr. Dunlap, on behalf of myself and everybody else here at the PRF Teaching Ministry, PRF Table, we say God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Peace.